to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What's up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 89 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Wow, I hope everyone had a great Labor Day weekend. It was a great weekend, a blast at Darlington with PETM. I'll get to all that here in a minute. Going to do a quick rundown of the lineup today and then get going with some stories and talk about the racing this past weekend. Unfortunately, no guests tonight, but like I said, I didn't think I was going to be able to line anyone up on short notice with traveling to and from the race, but it's going to be fun because I've got some stories from this weekend at Darlington. I'll reset where we're at with the trucks, Xfinity Cup at Darlington, social media, and tweet out shout outs a little later in the show. Silly season, big announcement today surrounding the 78 team. I'm sure you've all heard about that. I'll give you my take on that. Recap this weekend weather wise at Darlington with Aaron, and we'll find out what we can expect this weekend at Indy. Lucky dog, lap down picks, fantasy to close it out. All right, let's get going. I'm going to recap Thursday to Monday in terms of the shenanigans that went down with PETM and going to Darlington. So Thursday, worked a half day, got to the airport, flew to Atlanta, got to Rusty's house, recorded PETM with PETM. If you haven't checked out PETM 160. As soon as you're done listening to this one, go check that out because they're not going to be recording till Thursday this week. So you still have time to stay on the lead lap with PETM 160. Go check it out. We had so much fun. It was great. They've been on Lap Traffic. I've been on their show. It was great to do it in person. So much fun. And you can definitely tell we had fun. So definitely go check that out. We got in a ditch early and we closed that out Thursday night with the show there. So Thursday, that was a long and fun day there. Friday, man, Rusty had that truck all packed up, ready to roll out. I think we were on the road headed to Darlington around, I don't know, somewhere like around 9-ish. Settled in for the long drive from Atlanta to Darlington. Sherwin and Rusty, they found this brewery. I think it was the last time they went there last year, called the River Rat Brewery in South Carolina, which was so good. Had an incredible pulled pork sandwich there. And from there, we had about another hour drive or so, stopped and picked up some alcohol. Oh, and speaking of alcohol, good Lord, it is a challenge to buy alcohol in the South. Definitely a lot different than up here in the North and in Michigan, which speaking of the North, I've gone 35 years without being called a Yankee. And I'll be damned if I wasn't called a Yankee twice on Saturday. But anyways, back to buying alcohol. So up here in Michigan, if you want to buy alcohol, you can go buy alcohol any day of the week. You can go to a gas station, party store, convenience store, Meijer, Walmart, you name it. You can go there and buy alcohol. It was definitely a learning experience to realize that you can only get alcohol at certain designated stores and from certain designated times and all that kind of good stuff. I was baffled. You couldn't just go walk into Walmart or Kroger, whatever the store is in the South, and just pick up a bottle of Tito's. No, you got to go somewhere special to get that. But so needless to say, we found the special places, got some liquor and all that, and headed over to Walmart, got some grub, and headed to the track Friday late afternoon. It was, I think we rolled in around 4-ish, and it was hot as hell. And we just decided to kind of hang out a little bit before we set up shop, let the sun go down a little bit. And to say it was hot was definitely an understatement. But needless to say, camping area was so cool. Three out of our four neighbors were very cool. The fourth, well, yeah, they were something. That's all I'll say about that. One of the dudes next to us, man, this guy came up from Florida. And I'm going to tell you what this guy had for an entire weekend in 90-degree weather. He had his truck. He had a pop-up tent, not even a sleeping tent, just a pop-up tent, a cooler, a cot, and a radio, and some cigars. This homeboy slept outside blew my mind. I could not believe this guy just endured the elements with people hooting and hollering, screaming, yelling late into the night by the woods. So bugs were heavy. Dude just freaking rolled up on his cot and slept outside. That was crazy. Could not believe that. Saturday, we got up, walked over to the track early, got some merch, got some Darlington stuff, some throwback stuff, got me a new 3x5 flag, which is proudly out on the porch right now. I'll leave that out there through this weekend. I had to open it up and put it out. And then we got back to the tent, or the campsite, rather, hung out after the race, came back to camp. Mr. Andrew Kansian and his friend Christian, who I'm not going to say he did, I'm just saying may have blown a motor or two or three this weekend, which was fun as shit. But awesome to see Kansian. Got to hang out with him a little bit. That was awesome. So funny story on Sunday. So I actually have pretty bad asthma, and I always carry an inhaler with me, which of course I did. Well, I think because it was so hot outside and all that, like the inhaler that I had just stopped working. Like I couldn't get anything to come out when I tried to use it. So that said, with the heat, all the stair climbing and all that kind of stuff, it's not an asthmatic's friend. So that said, woke up Sunday. It's like, I got to try and get a new inhaler. So Rusty let me borrow the truck. I went to the local Walgreens, and I called my Rite Aid store that I use up here in Michigan. It's like, hey, here's the situation. They're like, oh, no problem. We can totally transfer a refill over to them, and yeah, no problem. I'm like, oh, sweet. They go, the only thing, you're probably going to have to call your insurance company to authorize a refill because you've just refilled your inhalers last week. I'm like, all right. Are they, like, open? And they go, oh, yeah, no problem. You can get through to somebody. Sure enough, did. Lady was like, no problem. Happy to help you out. Just tell the Walgreens in South Carolina to call, and we'll put in an authorization for an emergency refill. I'm like, oh, this is just going way too easy. Which, of course, it was going way too easy, because as soon as Walgreens in South Carolina called my Rite Aid, and my Rite Aid actually looked up my account, I didn't have any refills left on my inhaler. So I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. So like, they're like, well, there's a urgent care across the street. You go over to the urgent care and they can write you a refill or a prescription for it. You can bring it here. We'll fill it. You'll be good to go. And I could have done that. And I'm like, man, you know, it's not like I just can be walk into the urgent care, explain the situation. No, I'm going to have to fill out all the insurance forms. Then I have to wait for the doctor. It just would have been an ordeal, and I wasn't ready to go through that just yet. So my family doctor, who I've been dealing with and have had for years, I'm like, man, maybe there's a shot I can get the answering service to give him a call, and he can handle it. Sure enough, call the answering service. Within 10 minutes, the doctor called me, called the Walgreens in South Carolina, and in under an hour, I had all this done and was on my way back to the campsite with a brand new inhaler, and I was able to breathe, and I was very, very happy. So that was early Sunday. Got back to the camp, hung out, went to the tweet up, which was awesome. I'll give some shout outs to everyone later from that. Just kind of hung out after the tweet up until the race Sunday night. Stands were full. My goodness, they were so full. That was awesome. They were asking people to leave because of a threat of a storm. And man, not one person left those stands. To be fair, the track was behind the track, or the threat was behind the track. There was definitely some lightning, but if you were in the stands looking out to the track, it was clear skies. It was beautiful. Wasn't sure how the track would feel in terms of that old school. You know, they talk about old school Darlington and throwback and all that. And my God, it felt old school, man, from the stands, just the atmosphere and the track. Looking out at the track, it felt old school. It was exactly what I was hoping it was going to be. It was fantastic. Sunday night, sitting up top high at turn 4. Weather was perfect. Best weather all weekend was Sunday night. and it didn't rain. So as far as I'm concerned, I am the umbrella to PETM, as I am 2-0 with them at races without rain. So you're all welcome, because it was there. It was there. It just didn't rain. Monday, man, we were up at 8, packed up in the truck on the road at 9. Boys dropped me off at the Columbia Airport. I was there so early, I looked into switching my flight. And for $75, they did. I was able to get an earlier flight to Charlotte, and then I was going to have an early flight from Charlotte to Detroit. Bummer was, what would have been about a 3-hour time saver by doing that ended up only being an hour time saver, because there was some weather here in Detroit, which delayed the flight from Charlotte to Detroit due to storms supposedly in the area. But needless to say, Lindsay picked me up at the airport and we were home with a pizza by 6 o'clock yesterday. It was such a great weekend, great experience, fun time. Huge props to PETM for inviting me, and I could not wait for the next trip, boys. Let's get it lined up. All right, enough story time. Let's talk some racing, get into the nuts and bolts here. No truck race this past weekend. Just to recap, though, Justin Haley won at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park last weekend and is guaranteed on into the next round and looking pretty good for the likes of Sauter, Moffitt, Gregson. Right now, Rhodes and Infinger outside looking in. We got ourselves a mile and a half track and a plate race. Things could get dicey at that plate race. I assume pretty usual suspects will do well at Las Vegas, but man, anything could happen at Talladega. So while the likes of Sauter and Moffitt are probably pretty good through the next round, and Justin Haley, who knows what could happen once we get to Talladega to end round one of the trucks playoffs. Trucks still have one more week off before they pick things up for their second race of the first round of the playoffs. They will head to Las Vegas on September 14th, which will be a night race for us on the East Coast and a little late afternoon race for the West Coast. Pretty quick on the truck talk there. Let's get right over to the Xfinity Series at Darlington. Ross Chastain winning stages 1 and 2, and Detroit boy Brad Keselowski picking up the win. Brad Keselowski, who did not have the fastest car in either race this weekend, put his car right place in both races this weekend with the help of his crew. Swept the weekend at Darlington. Pretty cool to see Bad Brad from Michigan win both races with me being there from Michigan in person. Cole Custer, great run with a second place finish and a great run by Tyler Reddick, who's had some struggles as of late. First top five since Dover for Reddick back in May. Great run by those two Xfinity regulars, finishing ahead of Cup guys Denny Hamlin, Chase Elliott, Ty Dillon. Pretty stacked Cup field in the Xfinity race, which was kind of cool to see just because it was Darlington and being there in person. And all those guys had top tens as well. All right, the elephant in the room regarding the Xfinity Series, big topic of conversation from Saturday's Xfinity race, was the on-track incident with Ross Chastain, who, in his first of three races behind the wheel of the 42 for Chip Ganassi, put it on the pole, dominated the first two stages, winning them both, and was well on his way to potentially winning the race, at least definitely contending for the win of the race, until he and Kevin Harvick got into each other on the backstretch. Now, I personally will take full blame for the incident, because if not for hashtag lapped traffic, the number 40 of Chad Fincham, the incident probably doesn't happen. That said, Harvick slid up the track, ran the 42 into the wall, basically. Ross did not have anywhere to go, and then Ross gave a little hook to Harvick there. No, excuse me. Let me tell you, I took a beating for being a Kevin Harvick fan this weekend. A big thrashing, let me tell you. That said, you all know I'm a Harvick fan, and I'm not going to make any excuses for that. Both these guys were racing for the lead and the potential win, and that would have been a lot of fun to watch. It was a bummer. It resulted in some tore-up race cars. I don't think Ross should have just given Harvick the spot, and I don't think Harvick should have just given Ross the spot either. You know, that said, you know, I don't have any issue with the instant retaliation there either. And I'll say this, it was throwback weekend, and Harvick threw it back old school Harvick with his remarks at the end, saying something to the effects of Ross probably not going to get opportunities. Probably could have done without that, to be honest with you. Ross drove a hell of a race and can't wait to see what he does in a couple weeks at Las Vegas. I definitely think he'll be getting a few more chances down the road, that's for sure. Over to the standings, two races to go in the Xfinity Series before the playoffs begin. We got Indy and Vegas. I'm pretty confident the field is set for the Xfinity playoffs with two races to go. I personally don't see anyone outside of the top 12 winning at Indy or Vegas, so it's just a matter of who, if any, can add to their playoff point totals. Christopher Bell, as I mentioned last week, has slipped from first in points to fourth over the last couple weeks, which will result in him getting less playoff points if he's not able to get back up into the first place in the overall point standings, which he's fallen back 36 points. That's going to be a tough number to make up over two races at Indy and Las Vegas. So that said, Allgaier currently first in standings, likely to get the most bonus points when they reseed it. And man, Allgaier definitely peaking at the right time. Even had a pretty good finish this past weekend at Darlington. Another top 10. I think he finished seventh there. So, yeah, Allgaier definitely the force to be reckoned with right now in the Xfinity Series. All right, let's get over to the Cup Series. As I mentioned earlier, just a picture-perfect night in the stands, which were incredibly full. It was so amazing to see a packed house with great weather for the race. And, man, watching those cars come into 3 and 4, man, that was so cool. We could not have had better seats for that race. Just perfect spots. Nice job, Rusty Sherwin, in the selection of the seats in the stands there. And, man, Chip Ganassi, boy, did he bring some fast cars with the number 42 on him this weekend. Ross Chastain, man, fast car, dominated the first half of the Xfinity race, as I said. And Kyle Larson dominated the first half of the Cup race, winning both stages and just lapping the field like it was his job. I think what hurt his chances were the lack of cautions early on, which had some teams switching pit strategy a bit. Saw some different sequences of pit stops out there that I don't think you would ordinarily see had the race played out kind of like it did towards the end, which is what we would have expected early on, too, I think, at least once stage two got underway. That said, if you were in control of the restart, there was not a question. You were jumping out to the lead and able to pull away very quickly. Like, by the time you got out of turn two, you were a good 10, 15 car lengths ahead, and then it was just, you know, drive away from there. Clean air definitely played a role. A big on-track incident with Clint Boyer, Ryan Newman, which happened right in front of us. Again, I've got to take the blame for this one, too. Lap traffic definitely messing things up there, or as Clint called them in his post-incident interview, those damn lappers. Just unfortunate for everyone involved there. Newman just trying to get to pit road. Clint had no idea. Resulted in Clint taking a hard lick, and Newman taking out his frustrations, backing up into Clint to show his displeasure. So definitely some drama, both series as we wind down the regular season, that's for sure. Crazy to say this, but the big three were really not a factor at all in this race, which was a bit of a surprise to me. Truex led for about 30 laps there, but that was really just sort of due to pit cycles of everyone. Harvick tried to contend for the lead a little bit against Truex, but was never able to make the pass. And Kyle Busch was not a threat all day. Not that either of those three had bad cars, just not in contention at all. And with those three not being a threat, and with the help of an incredible pit stop, being able to come out first, which, like I said, if you were able to have P1 on a restart, you were able to blow everyone else away. Brad Keselowski picked up his first win in 2018, career win number 25, and just closed out an awesome weekend at the track. I thought, like I said, it was very cool to see Brad Keselowski sweep at Darlington. Not my number one guy. Everyone knows that's Kevin Harvick. But the fact that he's from Michigan and I was there for Michigan, that made that a little extra special. So that was a very cool, great weekend of racing there. All right. Cup standings. Winless still in 2018. We can cross Keselowski off the list as he picks up his first win of 2018 this past weekend at Darlington. But Blaney, Larson, Hamlin, Johnson, still winless. And speaking of Johnson, he struggled all night, ended up in the garage early with an oil pump issue, or as I learned from Sherwin, the people down south call oil. It's not oil. Apparently, it's oil. So just one race to go in the regular series before we head to the playoffs.
Playoffs?
That's right, the playoffs. Again, I think the field is set. Stenhouse will be knocked out as only one driver outside the top 16 has a win, and that is Austin Dillon. Question remains, who is able to add to their playoff totals before we reset the standings? Also, only a two-man battle for the standings lead and to grab the 15 extra bonus points, mathematically anyways. It's down to Busch and Harvick, but Harvick is 39 points back. Tough to make up 39 points in one race, especially at Indy, where Kyle Busch is a really good, winning two of the last three races there. So I don't see too much shaking up in the cup standings occurring. Maybe someone might move a spot or two, but not going to make that big of an impact as far as where everybody is from a playoff points. The only real difference is going to be is if anyone's able to add to their playoff point total, which is going to be fun to watch. I am excited to see if Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, or Martin Truex Jr. are able to pick it up. It's been their show. I can see one of them going out and getting it done this weekend to close out the regular season of 2018. All right, it is time for some social media. Everybody, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Make sure you subscribe, download, leave some comments on TuneIn Radio, Blueberry, Acast, Spreaker, Stitcher, Player FM, and of course, Podbean and iTunes. Don't forget about the giveaway. Picked up a lot of new followers this weekend, which was awesome. Little over 3,100 followers total, and at 3,500 giving away the autographed 124 diecast by Richard Childress. Hey, it was throwback this weekend at Darlington. This diecast throwback to RCR's the RCR Museum. Is what that is. And you also get a Lap Traffic t-shirt as well. So just a few hundred more followers away. So continue to spread the word on that. Speaking of new followers, we got some shout outs to some of the new followers. Andrea at SCGirl317, big Martin Truex Jr. fan. Emily at InfuseM from New York. Caleb at Whistler Caleb, writer at Kickin' the Tires. Very cool. Met him this weekend, which was awesome. Doug at DGreen1282, CJ DeAnesi at CJ DeAnesi, big Chase Elliott fan. Carla at Carla78love, I'm pretty sure she's a Martin Truex Jr. fan. Paul Jr. at PaulJr388, big fan of the 4, the 78, 18, 41, 9, 24, 14. I think Paul just likes him some racing. Josh at JBriggsy_14 from Indiana and a Martin Truex Jr. fan. Dr. Detroit at DrDetroit15 loves him some Michigan sports and Kevin Harvick, which is awesome. Avery at Avery Haig from Grand Rapids as well. Loves a racing too. Man, that's awesome. Got some Detroit, Michigan people on board. I love it. Big shout out to everyone that was at the tweet up at Darlington. It was awesome to meet some new people that have followed the show and to hang out with everybody. And it was cool to see some people that have been on the show. Kelly Crandall was there. It was great talking to her. Bob Pockrest was there. Daniel McFadden, who was on last week, was there. Caleb Whistler, as I mentioned, from Kickin' the Tires. Andrew Cansey, and it was awesome to meet him. At _Carlton was there. At Southern_Wit. At Terry Lingua, who is from Detroit and now lives in South Carolina, was there. Robert Keplinger at Captain underscore Bert. Man, it was so cool to meet all you guys and to get to hang out. That was awesome. So cool. If you want some stickers and koozies, I handed some out this weekend, and I've mailed a bunch out. If you want one, go on the website, click on the contact page, fill that out with your address. I'll send you some. I've got some new ones, new pictures from you guys on the website there, so go check that out. All right, before we get to the weather with Mr. Aaron Studwell, the NASCAR silly season is in full force right now. Announced earlier today, due to lack of funding, Furniture Racing will cease to operate after 2018. Defending and contending championship team. It's just nuts. Where does the 78 end up? I know there's some chatter, and not the 78, I guess. Where does Martin Truex end up? There's some chatter with possibly going to the 19. Who knows? There's endless possibilities. Don't like to get into too much of the speculation side of things. All I will say is it's crazy that the defending team of the NASCAR championship is having funding issues to the point of where they will not be able to run 2 years post winning their first championship and potentially winning back-to-back championships this year. That is a very good possibility. There's been lots of talk. You know, you have the haves and have-nots in all sports. We've talked about this up and down like crazy on the show with guests and on Twitter and all that good stuff. But, this should be an eye-opener. Everyone... not everyone. A lot of people are going to thrash, oh, that's just an indication of where the sport's heading. And it can be an indication of where the sport's heading if changes aren't made. So hopefully this will be an eye opener. Now, and that's the question that's way outside my pay grade because I don't get paid to do this in terms of what are the changes that need to be made to prevent future teams from having to go through this situation like Furniture Row is having to go through. That's the big question. What changes? You know, we can talk up and down tracks all day and switching schedules to bring people into the stands and all that. We can talk about... the pit guns, which we haven't talked about pit guns in a really long time, but, you know, NASCAR issuing standard pit guns, that's a small baby step potentially in the right direction. You know, there's talk of, you know, putting caps in terms of how much teams can spend, you know, all of this, and it's not going to be a problem that NASCAR is going to be able to solve in the offseason of 2018. It is definitely going to be a slow incremental change that's going to happen over time so that that doesn't become an issue, so that it's profitable for someone to own a NASCAR team. Even the Cleveland Browns, the owner made some money last year when they went 0-16. You've got a defending champion chip team that is having a hard time making a profit, let alone or not even making a profit, just having a hard time breaking even from that regard. So that is definitely an issue. There's a lot of money in the sport. It costs a lot of money to be in the sport and to run, and that's the case with all professional sports. You know, you can talk up and down about how much people should make or shouldn't be able to make. That's not the issue, or that's not the topic of discussion here. The topic of discussion is how do we fix that problem so that it's lucrative to own a team and to be able to bring funding in. Teams have really driven up the cost to be able to say what it costs to compete on the track each and every week. And maybe that's where NASCAR will eventually start to maybe put some regulation into that. But who knows? That may not even solve the problem. You can do that, companies still need to be willing to invest in sponsorship. That's not going to go away. So that is very interesting, very curious to see how this plays out over the next few weeks and into the off season, where Martin Truex Jr. will end up. There's definitely going to be some switching around in the off season. So the hashtag silly season of 2018 is officially here. All right, let's get over to some weather with Mr. Aaron Studwell. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, back again. You can follow him on Twitter at RaceWeather, and you can check him out online, raceweather.net. Mr. Aaron Studwell. Sir, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Good. Doing well. It is my Friday at work. So I'm looking forward to 2 days off.
Hell yeah. Congratulations. Enjoy some
thank you.
Well,
if you're Friday at work on a Tuesday, that means you work over the weekend.
Yeah. But hey, just got a couple days off coming now. Do you have to work next weekend or do you get time off through next weekend?
No, I'm back on Saturday, 2 to midnight.
Ooh, that's brutal. That's absolutely brutal.
Yeah, it's been a rough stretch.
Yeah. All right. Well, if you guys missed last week, Aaron and I did a rundown on Michigan football and the schedule, which was a lot of fun. Didn't realize how long that ended up being for that segment, but like I said, it was a lot of fun. Unfortunately, we did not start off so well. We both picked Michigan to win.
We started as well as the Wolverines.
Yeah.
We started out as well as the Wolverines did.
Yes.
Go in overconfident and not able to stop anything.
Pretty much. Yeah, man. They did not play much on Saturday. I was able to walk around to a few tailgates, watch some of the game, and then we ended up crowding around Rusty's phone to watch the rest of it. Man, in my opinion, they played only about 12 minutes out of 48, and you can't expect to beat Notre Dame when you don't play 48 minutes of football, and you just try to win the game in the last 12 minutes with, you know, sideline passes to stop the clock. And they even got down to the Notre Dame 20-ish area. And they poor clock management and time management, in my opinion, with Harbaugh in terms of not getting back to the line, not using timeouts when he should. I don't know. They just looked very lost, very confused. And, yeah, I hope they rebound quickly.
Yeah, we've got a couple of a little bit lesser opponents, and that's not taking anything away from Western or Southern Methodist, but they're not Notre Dame either. So
no, yeah.
Hopefully get things figured out in the next couple weeks.
Absolutely. All right, let's get to some weather. This past weekend at Darlington, hot, but no rain. So and actually there was rain and storms very, very close to us in the track. They actually were trying to, you know, and it was just a legality issue, I am sure, you know, with the message on the board at Darlington to please evacuate the grandstands. Immediate threat is in the area. The funny thing was nobody left the stands, and it was well behind the track. And if you were in the stands, you were looking at a clear sky. So,
well, here's the thing, and we talked about this last week too. You can text me. You texted me.
Yes.
What's going on?
Yes.
The storm was eight miles away.
Yep.
And moving towards the track. When you texted me, that storm was moving towards the track. As it got closer to Darlington, it weakened on the southern end and built on the northern end. It literally went around the track.
That's
don't say anything about DW here. It literally went around the track. So we did have lightning within 8 miles of the track.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it was close.
But
you knew it was close.
Help.
But
oh, yeah. What didn't help is that when it was moving away from the area and moving in towards the west-northwest, we had one stray lightning bolt that came out of the back part of the storm and hit within that 8 mile radius.
Yep.
So then they reset the clock. I think if it had been raining, I think people might have taken it more seriously.
Oh, sure.
That
sure.
There was a lightning threat, and that was pretty darn close. And it was one thing, and you saw a lot of pictures this weekend. There were a lot of college football games that were impacted, canceled, postponed, delayed, or just ended early because of lightning.
Yep. Yeah. No, I saw some of that too. But yeah, man, it was crazy to see how close that actually got.
Yeah, I was kind of stunned and happy to see it, because you're never going to say, well, yeah, it's going to fall apart in the next 5-6 miles. But it's like, I'm surprised they got nothing at the y'all got nothing at the track,
yep.
Not even a sprinkle.
No, it was worked out perfect. All right, we're headed to the Brickyard this weekend with the Xfinity Series and the Cup Series. What do we got?
We may not be as fortunate.
Uh-oh.
Right now, across moving into the Central Gulf, we have what is now a tropical storm, Gordon, which may possibly be upgraded to Hurricane Gordon prior to landfall later tonight. I'm not not buying it, but, you know, the Hurricane Center is going to do what the Hurricane Center wants.
Sure.
So if they find a reason to make it a hurricane, just even to validate their warnings, they'll do that. But that system's going to slow up as it moves across the lower Mississippi Valley. It will move across the Midwest Friday, Saturday, and then the Sunday. So all 3 days, we have a pretty decent chance of rain. Thunderstorms more on Friday than Saturday and Sunday, but Saturday, Sunday looks like just good, steady rainfalls with some models for the 2 days adding up to about 4 inches of rain in the Indianapolis area.
Oh, wow. That's no joke.
No. And then last time I was there, they had flooding. And if you're coming in from the south side, those roads are closed. I mean, there is going to be some point that is not going to be accessible from the south, and you wind up getting diverted around coming in from the west. So if you are going and it's raining like that, watch the traffic maps, plan ahead. Maybe IMS will be posting something as well about routes and alternate routes under the track, but flooding is possible, and it's a pretty good chance of rain. Now, what time it's going to end is it may move out for a later start on Sunday. We'll be watching for that. It does look like it's going to start tapering off, but Friday, Saturday, and a good part of Sunday is going to be rainy.
That just sounds brutal for anybody heading to the track. Brutal.
Yeah, and then when I went, a lot of it is grass parking and non-paved parking.
Yeah, I can't imagine it's going to be good. It's going to be it sounds like it could be a sloppy mess out there. As if the Brickyard doesn't have a hard enough time getting people into the stands, weather is not going to help that at all. But we will.
No, and you
keep our.
Yeah, you don't
crossed.
Want to be in a situation though either where you're kind of watching and. You know, I don't want to be, you know, I don't say we're responsible for people not going, but we've got to be responsible and say, hey, this is a legitimate threat. And it's legitimately heavy rain and a tropical system, which is going to contain that threat.
Bummer. All righy. Well, hey, you've brought some pretty good weather for us. So, you know, we can't complain that much. But hopefully they're able to get it in and not stretch too far into the week next week. Worst case situation there. Everyone, make sure you follow Aaron on Twitter at RaceWeather. And make sure you check him out on the web at RaceWeather.net. Aaron, thank you as always. We'll be looking forward to your updates on Twitter throughout the week. And we'll talk to you next week.
We'll be on it. Sounds good. Talk to you soon.
See you, man. Always great to talk to Aaron there. And get an idea of what we can expect. Sounds like, I would not want to be heading to Indy this weekend. That is a total bummer and unfortunate, too, because, you know, like I said, you'd hate for the guys not to have a full week of preparation getting ready to head out to Las Vegas to start the playoffs there if they aren't able to run on Sunday. So hopefully Mother Nature decides to cooperate and they are able to get that in. All right, let's get over to some lucky dogs of the race a weekend. Don't forget to tweet your picks, or you can call the Wave Around hotline anytime after the race, 248-965-9538. And I'm going to get right into my picks. My lucky dog of the race weekend is the PETM podcast for hosting me at Darlington, and second lucky dog, Brad K, for sweeping. Lap down is the weather. It was balls hot out there. Brutal. That said, let's get over to some of your tweeted responses. Amateur NASCAR fan at Amateur NASCAR's lucky dog goes to Kozlowski. Drove a hell of a race, but if a single crew member was a moment slower, he's out second or third. A lap down goes to the lappers. Was like there were two separate divisions out there on Sunday night. That's a really good way of describing that. Like there's an upper lower series on the track and getting in the way. That's an interesting take there. I like that, sir. NBTW at NASCAR BTW's lucky dog, Brad Kozlowski, for having his crew kill it on the last stop and getting him out first. Lap down, obviously, Larson for leading the most laps, winning both stages, and dropping it on the last restart. Captain Redneck at Redneck _ Captain's lucky dog, the number two crew, got Brad out first, and he kept it there. Lap down, 42 crew. Kenny at STL Cards Rule for Evs. Lucky dog. I could say it goes to BK for the sweep, but giving it to Rusty Wallace for an awesome throwback. Made him remember when he fell in love with NASCAR. Brandon at Brandon K. Carl's lucky dog goes to Keselowski for finally winning at Darlington. He put in parentheses, Saturday didn't count. A lap down, fittingly enough, goes to the lap traffic. Lap traffic was key factor in most of the controversial moments this weekend. It's not my fault, but I know I did not make a lot of friends this weekend. No pun intended. Pun intended. Robert at Captain underscore Bert, a lucky dog, meeting up with me, Daniel McFadden, Rusty, and Sherwin before the race. Has him considering camping sometime. That's awesome, man. It was so great to meet you. Make sure you keep in touch. And thanks for the lucky dog. Lap down, Larson's pit crew. Eddie at a three wide underscore fast Eddie's lucky dog. Ross Chastain, dude, put on quite the show. Sat the pole, led a ton of laps. Plus, didn't back down from racing a champion like Harvick. Lap down, 48 team seems to not be on the same page as the rest of his teammates. Yeah, definitely struggling. You know, everyone's waiting for Chad to turn it up a notch. That hasn't happened yet. Still not counting that out, though. All right, let's get over to the waiver on hotline. You will notice a familiar voice, Mr. Andrew Canton, on there. It's funny. I told him at the campground, you need to give me a 5 minute. I said, don't call if you're not giving me a 5 minute lucky dog hotline message. Turns out the waiver on hotline doesn't let you leave a 5 minute message. So this should be interesting how that works out there. All right, let's get to the first call.
Hey, Brandon, Jeff Legg, Gray Wolf Pack 5. Another good week of racing. I really enjoyed all the throwback paint schemes and everything at Darlington. There was some really good racing, people trying to pass on the bottom when somebody had the top line. It was just an excellent race. My lucky dog obviously is going to be Brad Keselowski. He raced a really smart race, put himself in position there, got his win. Good day for Team Penske, 1-2. Blaney back in 15th, but still, that is a good overall day for the teams. My lap down, this one hurts. It's really hard for me to even say this. You may or may not remember, I'm a Kevin Harvick fan as well, just like you. That's my guy, still is, still will be. But sometimes I wish there was just a little bit of a filter on his mouth whenever they do some of the interviews. The incident that happened in the Xfinity race, we all know that if the shoe had been on the other foot and Chastain had put him in the wall, there's no chance in hell that he wouldn't have punted Chastain after he came back off the wall. So it was really kind of uncalled for, the things that were said. I had a good idea. Hey, Rodney, maybe next time that they're going to do a post-accident interview with Kevin, maybe you could have him interview Keelan instead. Maybe that might go over a little bit better. And I wouldn't have to say that my lap down pick is Kevin Harvick. All right, there I said it. Now I got to go wash my mouth out with Busch beer. I'll see you next week. Bye.
Oh, man, that was funny. All right. So, yeah, I'm with you there. You know, you guys know, like I said, Kevin Harvick guy, can't make excuses for that. And you're right. Definitely shoe on the other foot. And that's a hard thing, I think, for fans to do, regardless whether we're talking drivers, we're talking stick and ball sports. When you're a fan, you're a fan and you got passion behind that fan, and it hurts, and it's hard to talk negatively when you need to. But kudos to you for being able to be objective and seeing that there. It's not easy. And you took it well there, my man. And thanks for calling, and look forward to hearing from you again soon. All right, let's get to our other call on the waiver on hotline.
Brandon, what's up, man? It's 6:30 on Monday, and I'm still driving home from freaking South Carolina. You can thank all the traffic in Virginia for that. Dude, I don't even know where to start with this weekend. I guess I'll start on Thursday, or maybe Friday morning when I woke up with a microwave. What else did I have in my room? Yeah, microwave and the handle off the oven from my house in my room with knocked over pong cups and a thrown orange cone across the basement room. So from there, I knew it was going to be a fun weekend. especially considering we were all beaten up in Burlington and raising hell like we kind of did. Yeah, dude, what a trip to Darlington. I was able to pop my Bojangles cherry this week, so that was fun. I had way too much Bojangles and Zaxby's and other fried food, so I probably took 3 years off my life in clogged arteries. So a good thing I usually don't eat fast food. I don't even know where to start with the whole experience at Darlington. Obviously, my buddy blew way too many motors. I think he's going to get fired. For his driving career, the engine builder is just really probably not happy with him. It's a very expensive motors he blew, I would say. There were quite a few that were blown. He was hungover probably until the race started. So I'm really proud of myself for that. So that was fun. Yeah, in terms of the actual, I'll start with the Saturday race since we were kind of giving you hell for that. Kevin Harvick's a tool for taking out Ross Chastain. And I don't really mean that. I'm just joking. To me, that was a racing incident, and I could really care less. We just had to give you shit for it, being a Harvick fan, which we did. that was fun. Then I saw Ross, actually. He was doing an appearance at one of the stands. I look at him, and I go, hey, man, Kevin Harvick. And he's like, yeah, you know, things happen on the track. So that was funny as hell. That was before the tweet up, I believe. And then the Cup race was, it was a weird race, I think, with the way the stages played into it and the tire strategy. There was that really, really great battle between Truex and Harvick at the, the beginning or the middle of stage two, I forgot. And then Larson got by both of them. So that was one of the highlights of the race right there. Someone else who really impressed me was Eric Jones. I don't know if you guys have noticed it, but might have had one of the best long-run cars. That race, he just kind of got caught back in traffic. I know he had the pit road penalty. I don't know if it was a speeding penalty or removing equipment. I don't know. I wasn't listening to the MRN broadcast, so it was a little hard for me to follow exactly what the penalties were, but I saw he had a penalty. Well, now that your voicemail rudely interrupted me, Brandon, you got to get the new software, man. Come on, you're slacking. I'm joking, obviously. So Jones had a really good car. I guess I got to make this quick so I don't get cut off again by your crappy software. and then the finish there at the end, Larson, you know, got beat on pit road, and Brad drove away with it, which is cool to see, and that was a gorgeous throwback, and Steve Park finished second. that was awesome, too. Just an overall great experience. It's hard to pick one or two lap down and lucky dogs. Obviously, my appointment getting canceled on Thursday was a lap down. We got another one scheduled for the weekend. Hopefully, we'll see how that plays out. And then my buddy blowing God knows how many motors is the other lap down of the week. And the lucky dog is the whole experience. Thanks to you and Brandon. You are Brandon, obviously. You, Sherwin, and Rusty for having me in the campground, dude. That was awesome. We had a great time, and hope to do that again in the future, man. Safe travels home, and I'll talk next week.
Oh, Andrew, that was so much fun. All right, so I got to highlight and hit on a couple things that Andrew said there. So first off, it's not a software problem. It's a Google Voice problem. It's a Google Voice number, the waiver on hotline, that apparently cut you off at 3 minutes there. So thanks for calling back, finishing that up. I'm with you. I, too, popped the Bojangles cherry there, and, man, that was delicious. And, yeah, man, your buddy, a couple blown motors for sure there. Definitely hope he is recovered fully from all of that. And yeah, I told you guys, I took a beating for being a Harvick fan this weekend, and can't see it, reminding everybody about that there. And hey, hope your appointment goes well. All right. Don't forget, tweet your picks. Call the waiver on hotline. Have some fun. Be a part of the show each and every week. It's a blast. All right, it's time to get over to some fantasy. Just a reminder, get your picks in by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Friday. There is only one more week in Segment 2. If you've dropped off in playing because you haven't done well in Segment 2, make sure you pick back up after Indy. Clean slate for Segment 3, and you still have a shot to win prizes there. No one picked Keselowski for the Cup, and no one was able to pick him Saturday. Week high was Stuart Cribb with 79 points with his picks of Elliott and Custer. And 78 points was second place week high, and that was done by Tommy Witt, Rika Porter, Mike Elliott, Chloe Yunker, David James, and Aaron Studwell. All had 78 over to the top 10 in standings, currently in first place with 1475. Hanging on strong for majority of segment two, Chad Robb. Over in second place with 1411, David James. Matt Fossum in third with 1387. Jeff Lagan fourth with 1379. Tommy Witt in fifth with 1367. Amanda Pugh in sixth with 1355. Chris Lowther in seventh, 1352. Tim Triplett in 8 with 1351. Two-way tie for ninth with John Entwistle and Kathleen McDonald with 1337. And Rika Porter wraps out the top 10 with 1320. Only 44 points separate 2 through 5th. Who can make a push this week at Indy? Segment 2 comes to a close. Over to the cumulative standings. Chloe Yunker still in first with 27-23. Tommy Witt in second with 27-13. John Entwistle in third with 26-90. Chad Robb in fourth, 26-81. David James in fifth with 26-20. So the cumulative standings, going to be a battle as the final 10 weeks start up here after Indy this week. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch that. My picks for Darlington, Christopher Bell struggled. Had some issues there late in the race, 34th, and Mr. Kevin Harvick finished fourth in the Cup race. MOATF, as usual, they actually gave me shit on their show because I didn't have the results updated yesterday because I was traveling back from Darlington. Fortunately, they didn't blame Mick like they tried to do. And they also decided to give me a nickname, a 2125. Apparently, they're going to start referring to me by my standings numbers. But the joke is on you guys because with ties and the updates from this week, I'm actually 2023. But no, really, joke is on me because they're ahead of me. But I digress. All right, let's get to the picks. We head to Indy for the last race of the regular season. Casey Kane won this race last year in dramatic fashion. We all remember this race that went early into the evening. Casey picked up the win. Kyle Busch won back-to-back at Indy in 2015-2016. Of the big three, Martin Truex Jr. is the only driver without a win and has struggled, only racking up a couple top tens at Indy. Harvick hasn't won since 2003. Our winner from Darlington has two top tens in the last three Brickyard attempts. Does Brad Keselowski go back to back and become someone we start talking about during the playoffs? Hey, you guys remember last week when I said Ford had not won at Darlington in 11 years? Guess what manufacturer broke that streak? That's right, Ford ended an 11-race winless streak at Darlington. Well, guess what? In 24 races at Indy, Ford only has three wins, the most recent dating back to Dale Jarrett in 1999. Can Ford end its 18-year winless streak at Indy? Who kisses the bricks? Who wins the regular season standings and 15 extra bonus points? We will find out Sunday, but right now, it's time for my picks. There is no truck race this weekend. Over to the Xfinity Series, Christopher Bell bounces back from two bad finishes, gets it done. Over to the Cup Series, hey, why not pit Martin Truex Jr.? That's who I'm going with. Teams seem to rally around adversity, and with the news today, I can't see why anyone wouldn't take Martin Truex Jr. this weekend at Indy. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to be a wrap for episode 89 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. Subscribe, download iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Don't forget about the giveaway at 3,500 Twitter followers. Got this RCR autographed diecast ready to go to some lucky follower. I am working on a guest for next week. Hopefully we're able to line someone up. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. Let's kiss the bricks. I'm out of here. See ya.